Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of our program. I'm thrilled that you're here. Hopefully you were with us yesterday as we launched a whole new wonderful series by Derek Prince called Pages from My Life's Book. And Derek yesterday took time to tell us about the power of personal testimony. Today, he's going to get down to the nitty-gritty of his own life. And as his biographer, as a man who spent years studying these stories and traveling the world to do the interviews, I have to tell you, I am excited about this series. Derek Prince had one of the most fascinating lives I have ever read. And I'm not exaggerating. I have written on presidents. I have written books on popes. I have written about great leaders like Churchill and Whitfield. And I think I've written about 15, 20 books, and I'm thrilled for all of them. But none of the individual lives I have written about had the turns and the drama and the heart-wrenching tragedies of the life of Derek Prince. Today, he's going to tell us about his life in India and then living as a child through World War I and through the 1930s. It's just a fascinating life, and I hope it challenges you. The goal here is not just to describe the life of Derek Prince, but to challenge all of us about the grace of God in our lives and the power of our own testimony. So let's get our Bibles, let's get something to take notes with, and let's listen now and prepare to march forward in obedience in the very same way as Derek Prince tells us about Pages from My Life's Book.
Let me go back to the beginning of my life. I was born in India of British parents. My entire family background was military. I have never met a male relative in my family who was not an officer in the British Army. I am the only existing exception to that rule. I was born during World War I in India. As soon as the war ended, my family sent me home to Britain for the benefit of my health and my education. And education was probably the major factor in my life for the next 20 years or so. At the age of 9, I was sent away to a boarding school, and from 9 till 25, I spent most of each year in various different types of boarding schools or colleges or a university. At the age of 13, I was successful in a competitive examination for boys of that age all over Britain, the cream of Britain's intellectual upper class, and I was admitted as a scholar to Eton College, Britain's oldest, largest, most expensive, most exclusive, and probably most snobbish boarding school for boys. At the age of 18, I was again successful in another examination, and I was awarded a scholarship to King's College in the University of Cambridge. My main education was in the classics. I remember starting to learn Latin when I was 9 years old and Greek when I was 10. By the age of 13, I was expected to be able to write verse in both Latin and Greek. My religious background was in the English State Church, the Anglican Church. I really knew no other church. All during the years that I was at school, we were compelled to attend church once every weekday and twice on Sundays. That's 8 times a week. As I looked around the people in the church, I gradually became disillusioned. When I reached my teens, I had the typical teenage reaction of being critical and rebellious and mistrustful of authority and the older generation. One of the things in the Anglican Church that I always remember was that every Sunday morning we had to pray together a certain prayer. And in this prayer, we had to say, "Pardon us, miserable offenders." Well, by the time I was about 13 or 14 years old, I would look around at those people saying, "Pardon us, miserable offenders." And I would say to myself, "They surely are miserable." And then I thought to myself, "And I'm an offender." There was no doubt in my mind about that. I knew I was doing all sorts of things I shouldn't be doing. But then I came to this conclusion. I could be an offender without religion and not nearly so miserable. So that was my secret determination. Now, as long as I was at Eton, I had no choice. I still had to go on going to chapel once every weekday and twice every Sunday. In my mind, I came to this conclusion. Christianity is a harmless occupation for old ladies of both sexes. Another way I described Christianity was, It's a crutch that weak-minded people use to hobble through life with. But I'm not that weak-minded. I don't need the crutch. And I'm going to throw it away just as soon as I can. Well, when I got to Cambridge University, church-going was no longer compulsory, and I took that crutch of Christianity and I threw it away from me as far as I could throw it. But always inside me, there was a gnawing realization that somewhere there must be a meaning and a purpose to life. Where could I look? Christianity, as I knew it, had failed to provide the answer. It must be somewhere. Where to look? Well, I decided that philosophy had the answer. So I became a student of philosophy. The philosophy that I studied most was that of Plato, who is undoubtedly one of the outstanding intellects of human history. I was able to read Plato in the original Greek, and I've read every word that he ever wrote in that language, which is many, many, many words. I combined my study of ancient philosophy with various forms of modern philosophy. The form of philosophy that was fashionable in those days was known as logical positivism. It really centered around finding the right meaning of words, and its thesis was that if you really understood what words mean, you wouldn't bother about being a philosopher. It was a strange, mixed-up kind of occupation. I remember that we spent one whole term in the philosophy class at Cambridge discussing whether we could know that the desk that the professor was lecturing from was really there. And as a matter of fact, as far as I remember, we never did resolve that problem. So philosophy, too, was somewhat confusing in a way. I was intellectually gifted. I've always been at home in the world of words. When it comes to practical things like what makes a car go, I just don't bother with things like that. I just cultivate other people as friends who do know what makes a car go. But when it comes to abstractions and definitions and theories and all that, I've always been at home in that field. So I was very successful. I was always the most successful student at the university in my particular field. For 2 years, I held the senior university research studentship in philosophy, which is a distinction that few people have ever enjoyed. I don't say this to boast, but I just want to indicate that it wasn't a lack of intellect that was the source of my frustration.
You know, I love hearing Derek tell the story, but I can tell you as a man who studied him for years and did the interviews and went to these locations that he's describing, that he didn't have time to tell the whole story. His years at Cambridge were years of darkness and depression. He dripped melancholy. As one friend said, it was unbelievable how much darkness he was in. He came very, very close to suicide. It was a very dark time in the life of England, by the way, and also in the life of Derek Prince. Thank God Jesus intervened. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Across more than 50 years of ministry, Derek Prince experienced many extraordinary encounters with the presence and person of God. For those who have wished they could have spent some one-to-one time with the man and heard him share details of these encounters, we are pleased to make available The Next Best Thing, delivered in a heart-to-heart style. Derek's message, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, brings you his personal account of his encounters with Almighty God. In this special audio CD, you'll hear how Derek discovered the reality of God and experienced the tremendous power of his Holy Spirit. You'll enjoy wonderful stories of God's supernatural power working in his life and the lives of those around him. You'll be encouraged by the faithfulness of God and drawn to press more deeply into his presence, which is why we want you to have a copy of your own, absolutely free. To get your copy of this exceptional audio CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free and postage paid, simply request it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us. We're in the second day of a series by Derek Prince on pages from his life's book. He's telling us his story. And I have to tell you, as the man who had the privilege of being his biographer, I've seldom seen a life quite like his. He's been telling us about his life at Cambridge and his years before the Lord Unbelievable the things he gave himself to. Unbelievable his search in Eastern mysticism and philosophy. All of it fruitless, though. Only Jesus could fill his soul. Let's listen.
Philosophy, too, was somewhat confusing in a way. I was intellectually gifted. I've always been at home in the world of words. When it comes to practical things like what makes a car go, I just don't bother with things like that. I just cultivate other people as friends who do know what makes a car go. But when it comes to abstractions and definitions and theories and all that, I've always been at home in that field. So I was very successful. I was always the most successful student at the university in my particular field. For 2 years, I held the senior university research studentship in philosophy, which is a distinction that few people have ever enjoyed. I don't say this to boast, but I just want to indicate that it wasn't a lack of intellect that was the source of my frustration. Finding that somehow even philosophy really didn't seem to have a very clear or positive answer, I turned to Oriental cults and systems, such as are extremely fashionable in our contemporary society. I was probably about one generation ahead of many of these people, though I didn't realize it. I turned to yoga, to theosophy, and even to voodoo. When I look back, I either smile or laugh at my simplicity. I became, for a while, to the best of my ability, a practicing yogi. I practiced meditational and positional yoga. But again, I ended up in disillusionment. I had a certain kind of supernatural experience, but it didn't make me happy. In fact, it seemed to be followed by a kind of gray depression that settled around me. My big problem was that I was in many ways an idealist. When I studied Plato, I could see his ideal picture of the ideal city, the ideal state, the ideal laws, the ideal government. And it really appealed to me. But always I came back to earth with a bump. I wasn't in the ideal. I was confronted with the actual, not only in other people, but worst of all, in myself. And the actual, both in other people and in myself, was so far from the ideal that it was intensely frustrating, and I knew no way to bridge the gap between those two things, the ideal and the actual. One result of all this was that I developed chronic indigestion. I was carefully examined in one of the best hospitals in Britain with all sorts of x-rays and other tests, but there seemed to be no medically diagnosable cause for my indigestion and therefore no cure. I believe it was really an emotional reaction to this frustration that I experienced when I contemplated the ideal and saw how far away the actual was from the ideal. And the only kind of relief that I could discover from this pressure and this indigestion was to turn to whiskey. Whiskey had always been accepted as a drink in my parents' home. Nobody felt any reproach about whiskey. And I remember as a boy of 16, I surreptitiously sneaked a little whiskey when nobody was looking and put it in a glass and splashed some soda into it and drank it and felt about 2 inches taller immediately. But by the time I'd reached my 20s, it took a bottle of whiskey to do the same for me that that little splash in a glass had done some years earlier. And so when I couldn't stand this tension any longer between the ideal and the actual, I would take a bottle of whiskey and a friend, and we would listen to classical music and drink that whiskey, and when we'd finished one bottle, maybe we'd go on to the second. I had one particular friend who was very expert in the realm of music. In those days, there were no hi-fis, and in order to get the best reproduction, you had to have a curving 9-foot horn attached to your gramophone or phonograph. And so we'd sit there with this horn sticking out over our heads, giving out this glorious music and drinking our whiskey and looking at one another and wondering whether we had the solution to life or not. Looking back, I could say this about this period of my life. I achieved academic success. I was one of the youngest persons ever to be elected to a fellowship at King's College, Cambridge. Those words probably don't mean much in the United States, but in Britain, that's a very high academic distinction. I became a kind of resident professor and a member of the governing body of my college. So I had achieved success. I had a certain reputation. I'd written a dissertation on Plato's method of definition and its evolution. I had a lot of long words and phrases. I'd tried a lot of different things, But looking back, I'd have to say that personally, I was confused and frustrated, disappointed and disillusioned, and I didn't know where to find the answer.
You know, it interests me as I listen to Derek tell his story, how very much in the 1930s he was like our generation today. He was given to alcohol. He was turning to Eastern religions. He was rejecting Christianity and ridiculing it. It's very much what we see today. In fact, I think that Derek said many, many times that had there been hippies in his youth, he would have been one. We have kind of a neo-hippie movement going today, and that's very much what Derek Prince was like. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
He was a remarkable man, and his life was an extraordinary journey of adventure, discovery, and redemption. Now, Stephen Mansfield, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Faith of George W. Bush, has captured that journey in Derek Prince, a biography, a frank, transparent, and fascinating account of one of the 20th century's great spiritual leaders, from England's most prestigious universities to the battlefields of World War II to the drama surrounding the birth of the nation of Israel. This new biography makes you an eyewitness to history while it brings you life-transforming spiritual insights. Derek Prince, a biography, is yours for only $19.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. Shipping is free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Like Derek Prince, you too can triumph over tragedy with the power of the Holy Spirit. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm thrilled that you're with us. We're in a series this week on pages from my life's book. Derek Prince is telling us about his fascinating life, one of the most fascinating I've ever read, certainly one of the most fascinating I've ever written about. And to help me digest this a little bit is David Holland, one of the producers of our show, a writer and scholar in his own right. And David, always great to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
You know, it's almost a little frustrating to me to listen to Derek tell his story. I realize he was constrained by time. I realize he probably was a little bit constrained by culture in his day and that he couldn't tell everything.
Right.
But there is depth and nuance to this story that is absolutely astonishing. And I think we captured it in the bio. But I have to tell you that listening to Derek, it's like he's skipping just the tops of the mountains, and he has to. But boy, there's such rich texture to this tale.
Oh, there really is. I mean, what an amazing life. And I'm mindful as we're talking that new people are coming to this program all the time. People who may or may not know who Derek Prince is or was, and frankly, people who may not know who you are. And, you know, you're always reluctant to toot your own horn, but Stephen is a biographer of, has had New York Times bestselling books, a number of them, to his credit, wrote The Faith of George W. Bush, which was a New York Times bestseller. You're a historian and a pastor and a scholar. And you were, before this radio program even existed, asked to write the biography of Derek Prince as he was clearly in the closing chapters of his life. And it was really your privilege as a historian and as a student of the church to hear the man speaking about his life in ways that he hadn't really spoken about it to anyone else. And he really was an eyewitness to some of the most convulsive chapters in the 20th century's history from a secular standpoint, and some of the most revolutionary changes in the church's history after he became a Christian. What was it like to have that unpacked before you from somebody like Derek Prince?
Well, David, I remember when Derek Prince Ministries first approached me about writing the bio, and, you know, I felt a debt of honor to Derek Prince. Of course, I was a Christian and a pastor at the time they asked me, and I remember growing up in a home where the voice of Derek Prince played all the time. My mother was a believer long before anybody else in our family was. And so I was happy to do it, but I have to tell you, I had a little bit of hesitation because I couldn't really see how another biography of another preacher was going to do much good in the world. And I try to use my writing to impact our generation. But several things impressed me. First of all, Derek Prince was willing to put their money where their mouth was. And I don't mean so much in terms of a big salary for me. I mean, it was obvious this story was going to require me to travel to a number of different continents, go back and forth to Israel repeatedly. And Derek Prince Ministry says, look, we want the truth. We want a good job. We're going to send you wherever we have to send you to get the story. So that really encouraged me. Then I began to research the story itself. I mean, it's unbelievable the way that the Lord orchestrated Derek's life. First of all, he's born in India during the British Raj. I mean, that's an amazing time that we sort of glimpse in movies like Gandhi and other films like that. Just an amazing time that he was even part of that history. Then he's born right in the middle of World War I. moves back to England, goes to some of the leading schools in the country, and then is at Cambridge in those those horrible years after World War One, when there's such a loss of vision, such a loss of fundamental values, such a cynicism about Christianity and the monarchy and all that. And so his life, I could keep on going. I mean, he's there in North Africa in World War Two. He's literally under the command of General Montgomery. He's there at the creation of Palestine. It's almost like the Lord decided to take Derek Prince and pogo stick him through his generation, having him there for just short seasons at some of the most critical moments in our generation and the previous generation's history. And what that does is it brings an authenticity to his teaching.
Sure.
You know, he's not just some isolated pristine preacher talking about things he got in his prayer time this morning. He spent years ministering to hippies in the 1960s in America. He spent years ministering to Palestinians, ministering to Arabs, ministering to Brits, British expatriates in Israel, what later became Israel. He spent years ministering to Kenyans and ministering literally out in lands where the demonic ran wild. And so I admire him all the more and welcome his teaching all the more, because it was hammered out in real battles and in the real crucibles of life.
Really, really amazing. Let me speak to the listener here for just a moment, Stephen, and I'm going to pretend that you're not in the room. When somebody asks me about Derek Prince, and particularly the biography of Derek Prince, there's two things I want them to know. First, I want them to understand that Derek Prince lived one of the most remarkable lives of anyone I've ever known. His life spanned the 20th century, and in two acts, the first act being all the history that took place before Derek had an encounter with Christ. And then the second act, his walk with Christ as it parallels the charismatic renewal movement. The second thing I want them to know is that Stephen Mansfield is one of the greatest writers of our time, particularly in writing on matters of culture and history and putting it all in perspective. Stephen is an extraordinarily gifted, enjoyable writer to read. So what you have in the biography of Derek Prince, I say with all candor and with all frankness, is a remarkable story told by a remarkable storyteller. You may not like biographies, you may not be a student of history, but let me tell you, you will be blessed and entertained and thrilled and awed and drawn to a deeper appreciation of God by reading the biography of Derek Prince.
Well, David, you're very, very kind, and I really appreciate that. I didn't know you were going to say that. I want to sort of deflect a little bit onto Derek Prince Ministries, because, you know, that biography was only possible because they were willing to do things with excellence. And I'm sitting here in this studio with you and willing to be part of this program and this great attempt to sort of take the legacy of Derek Prince into the nations of the earth, because Derek Prince Ministries is willing to do things with excellence.
Sure.
They're willing to do things the right way. And that's I think, why Derek was able to entrust them with his life, in essence.
Sure.
You know, initially he said, when I die, shut the ministry down. And then in time, I think, he came to realize that there could be a lasting imprint. So Derek Prince Ministries is doing some amazing things. And why don't you take a few moments and help the people understand how they can really partner with Derek Prince Ministries to extend the very things we're talking about?
Well, there's two things I want to encourage people to do. I want to encourage them to get the biography. You can go on the website right now, and it'll be very easy to obtain it. Purchase the biography of Derek Prince written by Stephen Mansfield. It will bless you. It will help you. Second of all, really pray about engaging and being a part of everything Derek Prince Ministries is continuing to do around the world and in this country. You can do that by just sharing of your financial resources and being a part of every life changed, every heart mended, every curse broken, every life transformed. You will have a part in each and every one of those by partnering with this ministry. You can do that online as well. Just go right now to DerekPrince.org, DerekPrince.org, and get the biography. And if you can, share a gift of support for the ongoing work of Derek Prince Ministries.
Well, David, you're very kind, and it's great to have you with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To get your copy of Derek's CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free of charge, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and be sure to request your free CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online at DerekPrince.org, where you'll find other helpful resources, including Derek's biography, for just $19.95. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.